Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 12. You will notice me looking at the back wall, as I usually do in our services. But today I'm going to be looking back to a blank wall. The clock is gone, battery went dead, and the backup batteries we had to put in it were already corroded, though they were new. And so for whatever reason, the Lord doesn't want us to have a clock back there. If you just can't survive without a clock, I'll hold my wrist up. See how good your vision is. Preferably don't be pulling your phones out and beeping and checking it that way. Every once in a while I go to a conference, and the preacher will say, preach as long as you want to. And every once in a while I hear a preacher respond, I always do. I always preach as long as the Lord wants me to. I try to stay on course with Him. We'll preach as long as the Lord's laid it upon our hearts. But I've really struggled and been burdened with this message the Lord gave me, especially in light of Sister Bourne's condition and seeing her last night in the hospital. It's with great difficulty we bring this message. We pray God will use it according to His will and for His glory. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. This is a parable. I believe there are some parables that are actually speaking about a real person or real people. And I interpret this particular parable as the Lord speaking about a particular man. He's called a certain man. And I see this man living his life the way many are living their lives today. I see this man living his life the way many Christians are living their life. The way many of God's people and church members are living their life. They have more than they've ever had before. And yet they want more. Got to have more. They don't know what to do with what they have, but they're not satisfied with what they have, and they have to have more. And their life is a definition of covetousness. Many of God's people are not satisfied. Got to have something more. Got to have something new. Got to have this. Got to have that. And God came to this man and says, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." And I'm sure the obituary read, or in the funeral service of this man, something was said, stating probably something along the lines, "He died unexpectedly." He died unexpectedly. You read that a lot in obituaries. We read that a lot in the newspapers when death announcements are sent forth. So-and-so died unexpectedly. I'm sure this man died unexpectedly. He didn't expect it. He had big plans. I'm sure nobody who knew him, nobody who saw him, nobody who was aware of his situation expected to get the news. I'm sure to all concerned, this man died unexpectedly. First question I want to ask, will you die unexpectedly? Will you die unexpectedly? Another question I want to ask as we get into the message, is it really possible? Really, is it possible for someone to die unexpectedly? In light of the scriptures, in light of what God's word tells us about life and death, should not death be expected? Should not death be anticipated? Should we not be fully aware of the fact that it is appointed unto men once to die? Is it really possible for somebody to die unexpectedly? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. You can probably quote this. Hebrews 9, verse 27. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It is appointed unto every man, woman, boy, and girl to die. It's an appointment that God makes. It's an appointment that maybe only God knows. But it is appointed unto everyone to die. After death comes judgment." And that's what he refers to in verse number 28. "It's appointed unto man once to die, after this is judgment. So likewise, this is why Christ died once. Died once and bore the sins of many. It's appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. Christ died once and for all. And in dying he took our judgment." In Genesis chapter 3, we're referred to those words that were taken from the ground, were taken from the dust. "And unto dust shall we return." even in the book of beginnings, the reality of death, the assurance of death, is plainly addressed. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. 2 Timothy 4 verse 1 tells us, I beseech you, brethren, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, before both of them, particularly referencing Christ, that he will judge the quick and the dead. That means the saved and the lost. 2 Corinthians 5 verse number 10 tells us we must all appear, saved people, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Revelation chapter 20 verse 12, 13, thereabouts. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened. They were judged according to the things that are found in the books. So can anybody really die unexpectedly when death is appointed? When God has set that date for each and every one of us? It's appointed unto men once to die and after the judgment. Christ died for us. He took our judgment. But still, we're going to die one day. And the saved, when they die, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account. The lost, when they die, will one day die and give an account at the great white throne judgment there in Revelation 20. Everyone's going to have to die. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat or freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. God told man, if he ate of that tree, the forbidden fruit, he would die. And man did die immediately, spiritually, and he began to die physically when he disobeyed God. Romans 6 tells us, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 5 verse 12 tells us, by the sin of one, all became sinners, and death passed upon all. It's not only appointed unto us once to die, and after this the judgment, but death is the consequence of sin. God set the consequence there in Genesis, reinforces that thought throughout the scriptural record. Sin always results in death, in dying. Death is a fact of life. Psalms 89. Psalm 89. Verse 48. What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. Think on that. What man is he that lives and will not see death? Think on that. You know the answer. In chapter 90 of the book of Psalms, God's word speaks about an average life expectancy. Of all the people who ever live upon the earth, there's an average lifespan mentioned in Psalm 90. Not everybody's going to die according to that time span. Not everybody's going to have as many years as that time span speaks of. Some will live much shorter. Some will live much longer. But the fact that the scriptures speak about there being an average lifespan, again, just reinforces the fact that everybody's going to have to die. Everyone is going to die sooner or later. In Psalm 90, verse number 9, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. There may be an average out there of 70 years. God might bless some with living to be 80. Seems like I've known many that God has taken up into the 90s. Our sister is preparing to celebrate her 90th birthday. That's a blessing. The Queen of England died recently. Seems like I remember her being said to be 96. Is that right? 90-something. She'd been on the throne for 70 years. What a blessedness to be given that long to live. But living to a ripe old age is not always a blessing. Sometimes it comes with negative consequences. Sometimes people regret wishing to live a long life because of what becomes a part of their life during those years. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Verse number 15. For we are strangers, verse 15, before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. In the epistle of James, life is said to be but a vapor that appears for a little while. Then all of a sudden it vanishes away. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after the judgment. Death is a consequence of sin. Death is a fact of life. There is an average life expectancy taught in Scripture, but even that comes to an end when death comes. Life at its longest, life at its best, is brief. And many people are living their lives the same way the man did in our text. They're eating and they're drinking and they're being merry and they're getting more, and they're not satisfied. They've got to have more. They're living for the present. They're living as though life is forever. They act as though it's possible to die unexpectedly. I don't believe it is possible to die unexpectedly. Death should be expected. As sure as one is born, death should be expected. It may come soon in a child's life. It may come after decades of life. But it really can never truly be said that they died unexpectedly, because death should be expected. This man was living the eat, drink, and be merry principle. A couple months or so ago, I preached on the book of Ecclesiastes, and I said it's okay to live the eat, drink, and be merry principle if you keep in mind, while you live it, God will bring you into account for everything. See, living by the eat, drink, and be merry, enjoying life principle, is okay if you always keep in mind God knows, God sees. And you should always be concerned with what God thinks about your life. That'll make choices much wiser, make you seriously consider the consequences much longer. But this man was not living eat, drink, and be merry, keeping in mind that for all these things God will bring him into account. He was just living the eat, drink, and be merry principle. Life is forever. But life isn't forever. Nobody in this room this morning is going to skip by the death experience. We say the only way to avoid dying is if you're saved and the Lord comes for you and he raptures you out. But the records kind of indicate most people are going to have to die. Are you prepared to die? Somebody prayed, I forget who it was, but they said something about the message being uplifting and encouraging. Well, death isn't the most uplifting subject you can think about, but it's a reality. I'm standing up here looking out at people who, no matter who you are, where you come from, how old you are, how young you are, your status in life, I'm looking at people that are all going to die one day. How are you living your life? Like this man who one day had God come to him and says, "Thou fool, tonight your soul shall be required of thee." Are you going to be another one of those guys? Or Or are you living your life for the honor and glory of the Lord and prepared for His coming and prepared for death? Are you prepared to die? Well, I'm young. What's that got to do with anything? Young people die all the time. Death is not restricted to old people. Children, very young in age, can get up one day all happy-go-lucky and get ready to go to school and not know that before that day is over, they're going to be killed in a shooting at that school where they just went to. Young people die, old people die. How are you living? Are you prepared to die? I think that's an uplifting, enlightened message. Because you can be prepared to die by repenting of your sins, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and to be looking for Him. It's an uplifting message because God has commanded us to tell people. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. You better get ready. You better be ready. It's an uplifting message because you're being given the message of hope. It may be today one of us is taken. Maybe tomorrow, it may be this week, it may be next week, next month, excuse me. Question is, how are we living? And are we prepared to die? When I preach funerals for Christians and of Christian people, almost always, God's people will tell me, I just want the gospel to be preached. I want Christ to be lifted up. They want to, in their time of death, be used to give evidence to the reality of dying. And they want Christ to be lifted up. That even in the funeral service and at that sorrowful hour, lost souls will see their need of Christ and prepare to die like the one who's passed. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? How are you living your life? Are you prepared to die? You better be ready. You could come at any hour. You'd better be ready by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Quit letting Satan tell yourself, quit letting the flesh tell yourself, you're okay like you are, and hear the message of the Word, and hear the Holy Spirit say, you're a sinner. And your whole being is affected by that sin, and sin brings forth death. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because believing on the Lord Jesus Christ brings forth life. And I always feel compelled to say something along these lines. Rather or not you're saved or lost, doesn't add anything or take anything away from me. Rather, you're saved or lost doesn't add to or take away anything from a Lord, one of the Lord's churches. Because it's not in our hands. It's not our responsibility. When we speak about salvation, when we speak about being prepared to die, it's all about you. How are you living? Are you prepared to die? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because it doesn't amount to anybody else in any way, shape, or form. But if you die without Jesus Christ, you will be forever separated from God. Life is brief at its best. But death always brings eternity into view. And there's no end to the state in which you enter eternity in. You die without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You die unprepared. You spend eternity that way. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. You receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're prepared to die. You enter eternity prepared, and you're forever in that state. Thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. Are you ever going to hear those words? Be saved, O today. Be saved, O this morning. And never dread having to hear those words, thou fool, from God. But know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Receive Him, repent, believe. Know that He died for you. And know it is well with your soul. You're ready to die. And you look forward to the day when you go to be with the Lord. Let's stand together.